I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of you gave me great feedback from the last podcast interview. Sorry about the audio quality there. We were recording from our iPhones there. But, you know, you did ask about the audience reaction and what that was like and what questions people were interested in getting answered. So this is your part two. Once again, there definitely is some strong language. There might be some sensitive topics. So if this is something you want to make sure you're in a quiet space for, ensure that this is your warning. And yeah, I'm very interested in seeing what you all are doing and what types of action this inspires for you. So this is part two of how to end gender-based violence on campus and in general. Enjoy.
Can, before we ask it, can we just collectively take a deep breath? Like just, and imagine that inhale is white smoke and then exhale just black smoke. And the white smoke that you inhale is filled with love and courage and strength and wisdom and positivity. And that black smoke is what is uncomfortable and what is doesn't feel good. And just imagine that as you do that, that so long as you have a breath in your body, you have the ability to endure. And you have the ability to do what you need to do. So, that's the yoga teacher in me. Thank you,
Ty. Hey, man.
I need a breath because I'm...
You did a lot, man. You did a lot.
Thank you for that. So, excuse me for interrupting.
Hi, I'm Samyukta. I was born and brought up in India. A very, very different culture from here in terms of how women are perceived again. But I see a lot of similarity. Because when I was moving to New York, I moved here 2 years ago. And I was moving with a dream that this is going to be a safer place because it's all relative. And then I come here and there are these stories which are just not. But I want to go back to your point about the story, how stories, gender stories are. And I've been taught to be this perfect woman. Don't do this, don't do that. But I'm also taught to be, don't be a victim. And I feel like I play that a lot in my head. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional.
It's okay, I never apologize for that. Yeah.
I feel like I play that a lot in my head. Don't be a victim. I'm not a victim. I've had a very great life. But there's so much negativity that makes me feel like I've never felt anything you want. I'm just supposed to be the negative. I think we push ourselves as women.
May I thank you for sharing that?
Thank you.
And your life doesn't compare to ours. There is no hierarchy. I'm no more or less of a victim than anybody. You yourself have survived. So here you are talking about a stigma of being told you're going to be this and this and this, but not this. That's traumatic. So you're here. You know, we're sitting in a particular political state, racial state, civil state, and it's heart-wrenching. I can't even go through the news feeds in the morning sometimes. I'm so sick of this fucking idiot in power right now, and the fact that we as a country elected this stupid, but please be mindful that there's more behind that than just those that voted. So, what do you do? You gotta stand up, you gotta look in the mirror, and you gotta go, I got this.
I'd also say that, like, it's very important to recognize all the pain that we have all gone through. But at the end of the day, you are the one who writes your story. You are the one who decides whether or not you are a victim. And I know that that is a loaded term. But you decide how you want to be perceived and how, not only how you want to be perceived, but how you want to show yourself to the world. You know, you write that. And don't let other people, and don't let a culture, a society, or a news system write that story for you and remind people what your story is. Does that make sense?
And what I'm saying is that I've had a great life. I've had no issues. I've had a great support system. My father instilled, you know, qualities of just standing up, having a voice. And I've always done that in my life. But I just sometimes I just feel there's so much negativity that you just have to pick your fights.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do everything.
You can't do everything.
Can't do
everything. Don't think that you can do everything.
And it's human. It's human to feel what you're feeling.
And let's also,
just
like,
feel bad that there's so much negativity and I can't do so much. Like, I want to be able to contribute.
Right.
But I need to pick my fight.
Yeah. No, and that's, I mean, like, that's something that I think is a relatively new predicament, because with the world of social media that we live in, we can get so many updates about literally everything at all times. And it's overwhelming. And the human mind isn't meant to deal with this amount of information. Like, there's definitely a dissonance between the amount that a single individual can do and the technology that we're given. Like, there's an emotion of a mental maturity gap, you know? Like, we're creating this stuff that's exceeding our own ability to handle it. So choose what's important to you, because I've also felt that way, where it's like, oh my god, like, global warming and, like, domestic violence and, you know, like, tsunamis happening, and it's, I think, as long as you commit yourself to something that is important to you, no, that's not even what I want to say. Obviously, like, pick on, choose what you want to put your energy into, but I think also just walking around with, like, a positive intention and just being like, you know what, no matter what today brings, I'm going to be a force of good for whatever. To walk around with that intention, you know, like, may somehow your good attributes throughout the day may make someone's life in the Philippines better, you know, just by, like, a weird domino effect. The world is chaos, you know, but the most that we can do is control ourselves and our response.
And I do want to say this, because, so if you look at my life, I grew up under two military dictatorships, right? I moved around a lot, five countries, four continents by the time I was 18, near-death experience, fired twice, had a lot of interesting stuff with visas, but Jen still describes me as the most random, happiest person in the world. And it is so hard to do that, because the easiest emotion to tap into is fear, is hopelessness, is insecurity. And I think what you did was so brave, because you understand that you don't have to feel guilty for not having fit into any of these categories. There is no hierarchy, as Caesar says. And I think what we as humans need to do is to be brave enough to do what Jesus is, to say, hey, I'm going to feel positive today.
Yeah.
And if I even put a smile on one person's face today, if by dancing to The Greatest Showman, like I can only do, or just, you know, belting out a scene from Black Panther, it's okay that I'm doing that. And I'm not going to feel guilty from that. And it's okay to tell yourself that all the time until you believe it. So I mean, I love that you brought that up, because it is filled with negativity.
I'm going to have one thing, I guess. is I think that even just by, like, not even, showing up is so important. And openness, to me, is something that we need to shift as being, like, the most coveted thing you can do is being open and being vulnerable. And the fact that you just show that to yourself and to a room full of people who care, like, I can't even think of a better way to contribute. Like, I really can't. Yeah. So, thank you.
Wow. Okay, we're starting up hot. Okay,
yes.
Next person.
Good job.
Next person with a thought.
Can I go?
Yes.
Oh. No. I have the thing. I'm going to put this down because it's weird holding it and talking. So it's interesting because, you know, Tayo, your experience that you just shared about the subway, I had a moment like that my first year in New York. I'm walking home. It's late at night. It's a beautiful New York night. So I'm like, I'm going to walk 40 blocks home because you can do that here. And I'm in really tiny high heels and a guy starts following me and it's late at night. And I check this. So I go left and then I go right and then I go left again to like see if he's staying with me for blocks that don't make sense. And sure enough, he's continuing to walk. And so in that moment, I kind of was like, what do I do? Like, and I know I'm someone that has self-defense training. I feel a little bit confident walking around New York, but I still felt unsafe in the situation. So I go, well, most rapists are probably lonely, right? So I just turn around and I like walk up to him and I like shake his hand and I go, hi, I'm new to New York. Nice to meet you. I'm on my way home to meet my roommates. What's up? And like start a conversation. And then I, pretty much hit on him for like two or three blocks, asked for his phone number, and got in a cab on the way home. And I go, why, if I was going to get in a cab, did I give him my phone number? Did I hit on him? Did I do any of that situation? I could have literally just like, when I saw a cab, hailed a cab and like gone. To be fair, there weren't like a lot of cabs around at that exact moment that I made that impulse decision. But I think we all have those moments, right? Of, you know, what you talk about, Caesar, where like the fight or flight kicks in and you just make a decision. And sometimes you just look something scary in the face, even though you didn't really want to. But I think the more pernicious form of this is what we talk about in the Me Too movements. It's what we talk about in the workplace, right? I have encountered so many times where I think I'm meeting an investor, a potential business partner for lunch, and they think they're meeting me to sexually proposition me. And it was funny the second time a married man with kids used the line that he was in a loveless marriage and staying together for his kids. Because I was like, is there like a script? Is there a school that you guys go to where you get taught this stuff? And it doesn't work, but like, is there? And so I think that that is something that is still very socialized. And at least like on campuses, you guys have programs. There are HR programs, but not really for investor communities, not when you're trying to be an entrepreneur that partners with a particular organization and talks to a CEO. So is there like a Calypso, is that the thing? Does that work for people in the business community, for women trying to fundraise? Like, does it have those applications or do we have something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but I think, you know, just even that, like having something like that would be great. And I agree with you. And I was like, as I was doing, looking into this and just, I know this because I'm in tech too, is like, even from like a VC funding perspective, right? Like, in 2017, $1 billion went to women from VCs, $60 billion went to men. So, like, there's such a huge gap in being, like, you know, a woman trying to start out your business and getting funding. And, like, yeah, you're just, like, you're not taken seriously. But, yeah, to as far as, like, a solution-based, I know that on, I listened to the woman who founded Calypso talk, and I know she wants to expand to the workplace. But like, you know, I think the solution to this is like coming up with like this next generation and us all coming up with these inventions. Like, here's the problem, here's how we're gonna fix it. I think Calypso is an example of that. I agree. It's a huge issue. You know, workplace environment, and they're all related. Like, you graduate college, you go to the workplace. Like, this isn't like there's one problem to solve. It's everything.
It's everything, and it's all our responsibilities. I think a lot of times people have felt comfortable. This is me getting my soapbox. Felt comfortable saying it is their problem. It is not my problem.
Right.
But the reality is, this is your friend. This is your sister. This is your brother. This is your mother. This could be anybody that could be affected by this. And this lackadaisical attitude that some people in power like to have until they are a threat of getting sued is one that's such a dangerous cycle that can be perpetuated. Because if you continue to do this where you create a system where no one feels safe enough to tell you something because it's just going to be brushed over under the rug, what type of employees are you cultivating? And what type of scenarios are you creating to have empowered people? And then those people, how do you want them to talk to the kids? How do you want them to tell the kids to react in this world?
You know, do you want to talk to them from a negative point of view or to tell them this is the possibility that you can have? I know it's a reality. My mom and dad tell me all the time, work twice as hard to be half as good. You're not even a citizen. Don't get into this. Don't go into that. These are all realities. But my hope is that everybody here understands the role that they can play, whether it's you volunteering, whether it's you speaking up, whether it's you saying, that's not okay. Because that has a long, long-lasting implication, even if that is met with negative reaction. We need to start causing people to be more reflective of every action that they take. The Aziz Ansari thing is a great example, because now we have a lot of men shook. And like, okay, maybe I might have done that. Okay, but I'm not going to do this again. Right? That's the type of things that we have to do. We're not trying to guilt shame anyone or make anyone feel guilty for that, but we want people to rethink and rewire. Aziz is not here now, but rewire your mind. So that's really what I'm hoping this does. I'm sorry, I just got on that. I don't know why. I felt like I needed to go on a diagram. But yeah, so that's the thought. I know you have a question.
Not anymore.
Any more thoughts? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you can go first.
Me?
Yeah.
So something that was mentioned in the very beginning was honoring the fact that we're all humans. So I did want to take some space and acknowledge and honor those members of the LGBT community, and how do we, work against and work against gender violence for members of the LGBT community when it's very heteronormative focused.
Gender.
Yeah.
How do we stay? How do we make sure we're actually inclusive?
Right.
And intersectional. With that. Do you want to go ahead with that? I think you had some for the gender roles.
A lot of it is like calling out hate when you see hate. You know, like the other day there was a guy on the subway. He was shouting a really loud, offensive gay slur, and I'm really upset that I didn't go up to him and say, like, that's really offensive, and you're saying this really loudly, and I'm really not okay with this. Even if it's a stranger, if it's your friend, if it's your mom, you know, like, that's even more of it. And then being allies and giving space and giving space for people in the LGBT community to for themselves, you know, like not speaking for them, which is why I think all of us are like, what? Because yeah. I can't speak to that community because I don't identify as part of that, but I absolutely want and am being very intentional in giving them space.
I think this is where the power of story comes to play. So I don't know how many of you saw Black Panther, right? I've seen it 4 times, right? I'm a little obsessed. You see it twice?
Yeah.
But the reason why I saw it is because of the symbols in the story. I didn't know I needed that story until I saw it. I was like, wow, I used to get made fun of this African accent. And now people are saying it, Mbaku, what I've watched from your mouth. Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna come down. So people can say all these things. That is what happens in the LGBTQ community. We don't have platforms that tell their stories. There are no platforms. And anytime we have their stories on HBO, those are like the tokenized, oh my goodness, this is the story.
Why
is and that's a big issue, because I also know that a lot of people that are not in the community don't even understand what any of the people in the LGBTQ community go through, because they've not been taught. Sex ed doesn't even include a lot of people from same sex, people that have same sex, people that go through those type of things, and you don't teach. I watched an episode of Foster, and there was an episode where there was sex ed, and they didn't teach gay people how to have sex because it was just not a normal thing. And it was like this whole riot, and it's going to cause funding and all that kind of thing. So, to your point, I think as schools, as institutions, as companies, we need to be more mindful of the policies that we're having. Are we creating policies that allow people to fully present themselves as they are? I work with a lot of corporations, and there was this heartbreaking story where a lesbian lady told me she didn't put her family photos for the longest time because everybody else had heterosexual families, and she didn't want to invite questions. And she didn't understand. She said it was just this unspoken thing. No one knew what she was. She would go to company parties alone, she didn't want to invite questions. That's what we need to start looking at when we're asking all these questions. Are we asking them, are you okay? When we ask them, are you okay? It's not just, are you okay? It's, do you feel like you're truly yourself here? Like, what are the systems in place that are making you feel like you can come here? Can you bring your boyfriend? Can you bring your girlfriend? Do you feel like we're giving you the right pronouns? Does saying he, she affect you? Should we call you we, they, you know, they, them? Like, these are things that we all need to educate ourselves. So I would say, I know you have a thought on that.
Yeah, I just know that there's been requests from the community here to change bathrooms to all gender. So single-use bathrooms that they would have all gender written on. So different than being what male or female, right? It's just having, in that, like you were saying, these specific, which aren't.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's not a huge request. It's so minor, the amount of money that it would take to make these signs. It's tiny, but it would have a huge impact on that community to feel that they're included on campus, because there are all gender bathrooms that they can use. Right?
Yeah. It's a simple thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just really glad that you brought that up, because it's also, especially amongst young people, I mean, by far the highest suicide rate is LGBT. Community. By far, the highest teen homelessness rate is the LGBT community. By far, like transgender and LGBTQ are much more likely to be victims of sexual harassment and sexual assault. So, what's that?
Physical assault.
Right. Extremely. Yeah. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I don't think we would do justice to this topic at all without at least briefly mentioning it. And I think it does go back to, a power issue and a representation issue, both in media, to Tyra's point, and also in power and places that are making the policies. It's once again another thing that campuses and academics of higher institution were not created, or institutions of higher academic, were not created for the LGBT community, and it's on all of us to make sure that everybody's comfortable in the changing workplace, the changing, and who gets to be educated and who gets to feel comfortable being educated, needs to elevate the voices of LGBTQ community. So I'm with you, and I'm excited that that's the conversation.
Yeah, I just think that, so I can't speak to like the current climate, but like, in the 10 years since when I went to high school to when my little sister graduated from high school in 2016, I think that they really, at least where we went to high school, started to teach a lot more about all genders. Her vocabulary and her knowledge is like infinitely higher than mine. And my parents are always like commenting on how impressed they are by like the things that she knows and like how good she is at speaking about it. And like, I just don't think that that existed 10 years ago. And I think that, I mean, I can't speak to what's happened in the past like year, but I think that during the like 7 years in between when I graduated from high school and when she did, I think that the education on that has at least improved.
Good.
Do you mind if I ask you what part of the country?
I grew up in Connecticut. I went to Staples High School in Westport. So it's a pretty liberal town and a pretty liberal state, fairly. So I don't know how it is everywhere in the
country. No, I only ask that because the point made behind that is that wherever you are regionally in the country, you're looking at different viewpoints, you're looking at different opinions, you're looking at what's conservative, you're looking at what's liberal, you're looking at what's far right, far left. We joke about being Southerners because she went to school in Georgia, I'm from Texas. Adrian was raised upstate New York, so there's, you know, Connecticut. It's Northeast, come down South, you know, it's a little bit different. I think that's wonderful. And I think that that's something educationally that needs to be implemented across the country. One of the faults of this country is that we're divided, and we have been since the country was founded by white men who signed the institution. It didn't include women, gays, blacks, browns.
Yeah.
You know, it's that. But I think that your recognition of it is to be commended. And the fact that your little sister is now in this particular knowledge base of strength means that you two guys are amazing and you're going to help continue to help people onwards and upwards.
Two more questions.
Okay, so I'm from India, and I started modeling at a very young age because every girl dreams of being Miss India. I achieved that, and you know, the next thing was getting into acting, like I was talking to Tyler about. But I moved to Mumbai at a young age. I wasn't educated enough about sexual violence, or, you know, so there have been times that I've had incidents happen to me and I did not realize that that was not okay till maybe 2 years back. And I wish somebody had told me about it. And the Indian culture doesn't talk about, you know, sex or being educated or just being aware of things. And though I had the freedom to go and explore opportunities, this is something that I regret. And later, that's one of the reasons I decided not to go into acting, because, you know, that's something that was happening again and again. And I couldn't really talk to my parents about it. And I didn't know if it was okay or if it wasn't, because there were peers from the modeling industry who kind of encouraged having it happen to them, because it was like you're gaining favor with the person in power who can give you something. So it would be great for people to understand this, and also for, as children, I mean, you absorb these messages, you know, and you start attaching importance to the way you look, which is great. But it also, I mean, for me, it took a very long time to realize that I'm a person besides my looks or my achievement in the modeling or in front of the camera. And I think that was something really great. So if children are taught this from when they're young, then that would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I absolutely. And kind of going back to like the stories that especially children are told as these, like, I don't know, they just run around as these like pretty androgynous little beings, but then we tell them the stories of like, okay, boys have to be strong, girls have to be beautiful.
Yeah, boys don't cry.
Boys don't cry. Girls, like, girls can cry all they want. What was I going to say? Going back to like, I also have a sister who's 10 years younger than me, and the way that she speaks about, being gay is a really normal thing, you know? And like in my high school, I remember that there were some kids that like might have been, but they totally came out after high school. And now my younger sister, like, she's just about to graduate, but there's a handful of kids who are just openly walking around, and which is wonderful, and it's a very like supportive community. That doesn't happen everywhere, but like it really does start with the conversations that we have with our kids, you know, and like the conversations that my younger sister, just 10 years, was having and being exposed to. Like, that was a big time where Glee was on television, and like Will and Grace was a bit, you know, like it's all in the movies and television as well. But it's so, the one thing that I'm hoping that comes out of the Me Too movement is that parents now, who have children now, are having different conversations with their kids about consent as like kids, you know? Even though the whole like idea of a gender dichotomy is probably not going to die anytime soon, the way in which the conversations around consent happening at an earlier age, I think, are happening. I also happen to be a tutor, so I'm like kind of in like those battlegrounds as well, and it looks as though parents are starting to talk about their kids differently. I'm like, that's great. but we're also very privileged to live in one of the most liberal bubbles. And but at the same time, like, New York is a huge fucking voice, you know, like, we've got a big voice, and we should use that to become as inclusive as possible. So yeah.
And then you have one more question, but I just wanted to give you this analogy. If you ever want to understand what privilege and inclusion is, think about the world from a right-hander's perspective. Right? Most of the world is right-handed. So how do left-handers wake up? Everything is crafted from seats, utensils, to sports equipment for right-handed people. We wake up as right-handed people not worrying or thinking about, oh my goodness, I have to sit on this, I have to wear this, I have to buy that. That's how it is when it's a majority-minority dynamic. Someone that's left-handed wakes up thinking extra of this all the time. And someone that's in that in the lower part of the power dynamic has to think about these extra thoughts. And if you're wondering, why can't I see these things, think about yourselves right-handed. Why don't you ever talk about being left-handed? So it means that we have to make more of an effort, to understand the society around us. Because it takes that much more work. And we have to be willing to do the work. We can't exist in a comfort zone. A comfort zone is a nice place to live in, but nothing grows. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable. Get comfortable being uncomfortable and understand that everybody has their own perspective to the same thing that we all believe. And we have to learn how to respect that. So that's just an analogy that I like to use for people when they serve. Talk about that. So one last question. You know, finito.
Well, I mean, it was just about change. And when Danielle was talking about her younger sister, and you had a similar experience, and I have two daughters. One is 9 and one is 11, and so I'm seeing them and grew up in an amazing public school and, you know, protested 17 minutes today against guns in schools. You know, we have progressive kids. We see that with Parkland as well, that I think kids are a lot more aware and they are concerned about this and thinking about these things. And just this idea that change is happening so fast. But I think that one thing I've thought a lot about when we look at, you know, who we have as president now and the people that elected him is, okay, there's a part of this population that isn't seeing the same way that we are. And you're even saying my sister, who's 10 years younger, is seeing differently than me. So I think in some ways there is this role of raising our voices and knowing how to do that. And that's something that my first job out of college was in the fashion industry working at Calvin Klein, and my design director wanted to have an affair with me, and that I dealt with that for like 6 months without complaining to HR. You know, I felt like if I complained that would cause more problems. You know, the lesson learned was not complaining. It was still the same problem because he didn't get what he wanted, and then, you know, was mad at me anyway. So I guess it's a little bit of like, okay, we need to help people along to change and raise our voice. And I just wonder if there's any words of advice for that. Because I think it's hard sometimes to raise your voice. You know, this idea of take a break, breathe, know that you can't change everything. Just some, you know, words of advice.
I would love to touch upon that. We're in a very unique position where we are connected now globally. Like that. Like the amount of information that comes at us is this huge amount, but we're also now in a position to share that kind of information right back. So use your stance as a mom and as a mentor and a role model and a nurturer and an educator and a motivator to your kids and your friends and your fellow students socially. My Instagram page, people are like, if I'm having a shitty day, I know to go to Caesar's page because there's something, you know. I don't report the bad. I scroll right past those news feeds that are just complaining about this and that. So use your voice. But how? Maybe via an Instagram page or a video, or maybe involve your kids so that they start to learn, because that's the day and age we're in. Like, as a performer, I'm like, it's a necessary evil. Social media, I have to be on it. I have to tweet about stuff. I have to announce this on Instagram, and I have to throw teasers, but all of that is said and done so that there is a wave of energy that just sort of ripple affected out to other people. So my best advice is use the power that we have now of global connectedness, because everyone now is here. And if you say something, they might hear.
And I feel like this is the first time where people are also listening. You know, like women have been, and obviously like men as well, but like women have been sexually abused forever, but only in the past, what, 5 years are we actually listening to 2,000 years of complaints, you know? So people are listening now, and that's incredible. And kind of going back to like, how do we make sure that everyone's represented is like, yeah, using this technology is amazing. I started a podcast off of a broken iPad when I was backpacking throughout Latin America. You know, I created my own platform. Tayo has his own podcast as well. So we are at this beautiful point with technology where if there isn't a platform for you, obviously, like, you have to be in a privileged state or position. Again, we're in New York. That's like so. And most of us have access to technology. But creating a platform, if you have that privilege, using your privilege for good, and then using your privilege to make sure that all of the other voices are heard. You know, like on my podcast, I try to make it as inclusive as possible and try not to have like too much of one perspective so we can really hear as much as possible. And one thing that I would love to do if it ever got big enough is to be able to provide those tools and services for individuals who don't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. You can create your own stuff now, you know? And like, again, we're very lucky to be living in that time period, so guys, take advantage of it, you know?
So the great Tupac once said, I might not change the world recipes, but I might spark the revolution, the generation that does change the world. And my point with that is that I think a lot of us underestimate our own sphere of influence. So I speak a lot, and I go to a lot of you have podcasts, you do a lot of things in the creative communities, you work with a lot of organizations that are doing this. But the power of one voice is something we underestimate. I remember going to speaking of the youth, to a bunch of 12, 13-year-olds, me and my business partner were thinking maybe we should dumb down this message, this is heavy stuff. And then at that point, I got this email from, at the time, I actually think she was 11, right after 45 got elected. And she goes, "You don't know me. Dear Mr. Rocks," a very long letter, "You don't know me, but when I saw that you were speaking, I immediately looked at your website, and I read up all your bio. And I'm Cuban, and I don't look Latina, but always had that difficulty with the identity crisis, like you describe yourself. I just feel like I'm in despair because I participated in Women's March. Flana Castillo just got shot, and there was a lot of these shootings. I feel like there's no voice for women and people that look like me, people of color. But that was the feeling I had until I came to you. Because much like Oprah and Nelson Mandela were your role models, you were mine." She said that. This is a long letter. I was like bawling, crying. 11 years old. I didn't know an 11-year-old. When I was an 11-year-old, I wasn't sure what I was trying to do. But that's one voice. And now what she does is she keeps me updated. I just did this at this call. I started this multicultural group. I started this. She's excited about that. That's a voice, and that's what that can happen. So if we focus on our sphere of influence, we don't know what we can spark. So,
yeah. Can I add really quick? That was amazing. I'm not going to top that. But two things. So I think because all this has been technology-focused, and it was brought up that I'm from the South, my family's all in the South. So I think, you know, to the point about being so divided in this country right now, it's not easy. I don't have a choice because my family are Trump supporters. So I don't have a choice in not dealing with them. But like befriending people who don't look like you, befriending people who don't think like you in a real human way. Because it's very easy to disregard a tweet and it's very easy to attack a faceless person. But actually like getting out of your comfort zone and loving people who don't think this way and loving people who are homophobic and understanding and helping to bring them around to it. I mean, if I had a choice, I'd probably not do that. But coming to New York 3 years ago, the only thing I knew about feminism is it was bad. That's it. Mm. Like, I mean, but like, that's real there, you know, like it's not, this isn't like
some other made-up planet. It's our country, and it's who's in power. So I would say, too, just, like, using the power of just, like, one-on-one connections can change so much. Once I got a role model, to Tayo's point, that was a feminist who I, like, started to identify with, then I totally rethought everything. But it took one person who I saw myself in to change that mentality. So I would just say, like, the power of human empathy and, like, actually being human with somebody and actually sitting with somebody who doesn't agree with you. And, like, now that one person that changed me, now it's, like, a huge passion. And my goal in life is to, you know, continue to raise this platform. The other thing I'll say, too, which Adrian touched on, is just using privilege to open up the gate for others who aren't as privileged. And that's where a lot of intersectionality comes into play with the LGBTQ community. Minority women in specific have been really left out of historical feminism, and, you know, like, are really left out of a lot of these dialogues. So using any sort of platform that you have to raise awareness, you know, or promote awareness of somebody that doesn't have as much privilege as you. I mean, I'm a heteronormative white woman from a middle-class family. Like, I'm way up there with privilege. So, like, recognizing that and encouraging voices of those that are less privileged than I am, because I'll mess up a lot. I'll do things because, to Tyler's point, I'm right-handed. yeah. So that's it. That's what I'd say.
Thank you all. Thank you all.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.